On this day back in 2010, singer-songwriter, musician Doug Feiger died after a long battle with cancer. Rhythm guitarist, lead vocalist of The Knack, and co-wrote this massive hit from 1979, My Sharona. The fastest-selling debut single in Capitol Records history since The Beatles and I Want to Hold Your Hand back in 1964. Doug Feiger died on this day in 2010 after a long battle with cancer. Of course, his brother, Jeffrey Feiger, the famed personal injury attorney from here in the state of Michigan as well. Scott Bertram sitting in for Steve here on the Steve Gruber Show. Thanks so much for joining us. Joined right now by Mark Mix, president of the National Right to Work Committee. Find online on Twitter at Right to Work. Mark, thanks for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
My pleasure, Scott. It's good to be on with you. And I think I had that 8-track tape of the Knack in My Sharona in my car in 1979. I'm not sure, but I had a lot of 8-tracks.
Look, there's a pretty good chance you did. It was a very good-selling 8-track back then. Mark, I don't have a print version of the Detroit News in my hands, but your op-ed is on the website DetroitNews.com. I would imagine it's in the print version today. Congress assaults workers' rights again. And you say last week, Alessa Slotkin and Haley Stevens helped Nancy Pelosi push big labor's so-called PRO Act through the U.S. House. What are we talking about here, Mark?
Yeah, it's a piece of legislation. It's probably the single largest and most aggressive piece of labor legislation that we've seen in decades in Washington. It actually is a bill that would radically alter the relationship between employees and unions, and obviously unions and employers. And for us, the biggest part of that particular bill was that it would repeal all 27 right-to-work states, including Michigan's right-to-work law, by federal decree. And so that bill passed the House last Thursday, 224-192. And it has all kinds of other issues involved in it and other kind of policies in it, but it would immediately repeal all the right-to-work laws across the country, which is pretty significant, given that Michigan is in the roles of those right-to-work states now.
Hey, Mark, in addition to right-to-work repeal, which is bad enough in and of itself, would the PRO Act do anything or address the Janus decision, the very important Janus decision from last year?
Yeah, no, it wouldn't, Scott. The Janus decision, it protects all government and public sector workers. Those workers are not covered by the National Labor Relations Act. The National Labor Relations Act is the federal policy that covers all private sector workers in the country, and the PRO Act was specifically focused on private sector workers and those in the National Labor Relations Act. The Janus decision from June of 2018, which we litigated at the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation, protects every government employee across the entire country from being forced to pay dues or fees to keep their job.
Mark Mix with us, National Right to Work, NRTW.org, at Right to Work on Twitter. This is happening, Mark, this push in the House to repeal all right-to-work states across the country at a time when the state of Virginia, newly deep blue, I mean, the Democrats control the governor's mansion, the House, and the Senate out in Virginia. They have killed a bill to repeal right-to-work in Virginia because they found out, surprise, surprise, it was going to cost them millions of dollars.
Yeah, indeed. It was the bill passed the House, well, passed through committee in the House and the committee in the Senate, and it died last Tuesday, or Tuesday of this week, when the crossover deadline occurred in the legislature. That's the deadline when a bill has to pass out of its house of origin. But yeah, and the Democrats there had talked about repealing the right to work law until the executive branch put out a study, a financial impact study, that said repealing a right-to-work law would cost them up to 37,000 jobs and over $11 billion in new investment in the state. That was the governor's executive branch that put out that study, and that put a damper on things right away. We were there in Richmond, and the opposition to the bill was dramatic, but the legislature and the Democrats and those that want to continue to force workers to pay dues or fees to keep their jobs were pretty adamant about it. But then I think public opinion rose up, and then these types of facts come up, and they let the bill go. It does carry over to the next session, but it didn't seem like there was much of an appetite for repeal in the Senate, where the bill failed in committee on a 12-3 vote.
Now, the rationale, Mark, for this PRO Act seems pretty clear. Democrats rely on union money to fund campaigns all across the country. Union membership has been declining pretty precipitously, especially now that a majority of states do have these right-to-work laws. So it's one way for the federal government via the Democrats to step in and force more union membership across the country.
Yeah, and that's what the bill is designed to do. It would have changed the way unions are certified in certain instances, allowing for card check unionization as opposed to a secret ballot election. It had provisions in there dramatically increasing penalties and strike issues. It had all kinds of things. There's probably seven or eight or nine major components of the bill that have been addressed in Congress over the years individually, but they're all wrapped up in this one bill. And I think AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka put it best in a press conference before the vote on last Thursday. He said, if you don't vote for this bill, you don't get $1 in union money, and you don't get one door knocker from the union movement. And so that's kind of a quid pro quo for some of those folks out there that rely on this forced fees cash for their political success.
Mark Mix with us, National Right to Work, talking about the PRO Act in the House. Now, the argument Democrats use against Right to Work is it harms workers. Workers make less. Workers have less take-home pay. It's bad for workers. If that's the case, I'm unsure why 27 states have gone that direction and more considering it. So what do the actual numbers say, Mark?
Well, the fact is that workers in right-to-work states, when you adjust for cost of living, which the unions never want to do because they know that an apartment in New York City is much more expensive than an apartment in Provo, Utah. And so when you adjust for cost of living, workers in right-to-work states have about $4,500 more to spend in disposable income. So that's the income side of it. On the job creation part of it, we know that right-to-work states have nearly double the private sector job growth in the states that don't have right-to-work laws. And that matters because that's opportunities for workers. And if I'm a union official, if I'm going to organize workers, I want more people working. That it just makes sense. But I think Scott, the Detroit situation with the UAW is the greatest case study of why right-to-work is important. And that's, you've got, eight UAW officials that have pled guilty already to embezzlement schemes and taking union money. You've got another one that probably will plead guilty next week, I believe. UAW members across the country who are not in right-to-work states are continuing to force to pay fees to an organization where the federal prosecutor, I think 2 weeks ago in Detroit, said they're stealing the workers' money. This is why right-to-work matters. It holds union officials accountable.
About 30 seconds, Mark. Look, it got through the House, but this is not going to be something the Senate takes up, clearly with Mitch McConnell in control. But again, we have to be aware. We have to see what's happening in case something happens in November. We hope not, but you never know.
Yeah, that's right. I think this is a pretty good signal that what's at stake when we come to November 2020 and what would happen immediately if there's a change in government in Washington. Yeah, the Senate may bring the bill up. They may not. I think that the president did issue a veto statement on the bill. So, but there are now everyone in the House of Representatives on record in favor of freedom or coercion when it comes to right to work.
Mark Mix, National Right to Work, NRTW.org, at Right to Work on Twitter, and you can check out his op-ed, Congress Assaults Workers' Rights Again, DetroitNews.com. And as I said, pretty sure it looks like it's in the print edition, too, today of the Detroit News. Mark Mix, thanks so much for joining us here on the Steve Gruber Show.
My pleasure, Scott. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Seton Motley coming up next. Scott Bertram in for Steve on the Steve Gruber Show.
Hey, parents. Finding it hard to communicate with kids in today's world of ever-changing slang?
Hi, son.
Excuse me?
Introducing the Communicizer. Just strap non-toxic Communicizer to your mouth and go from boring old man speak.
Oh, I'm here if you want to talk.
To 100% off the chain.
Text me whenever, yo.
It's that easy.
Thanks to Communicizer, I'm relevant to my kids again. I mean, a fly, boo.
And now when you buy Communicizer, you get the auto-tune attachment free. Sounds so hip-hop, your kids will want to talk to you for hours.
I used to have to walk 3 miles uphill to school every morning, shorty.
I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son.
Communicizer is not available in stores because it doesn't exist. But that's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Because kids in foster care don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction, but where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.